started up. Let's go to a show where we're rocking all night. I got an army, wanna party with 30 extra guys from the dusk to dawn till our minds are gone. Hang out with hangovers and hit up a con. Houston, Texas, are you feeling the love from a giant rocket ship coming down from above? Well,
Space City Nerd,
don't you know? Well,
Space City Nerd,
that's right, we're the kings and the queens of the things that you deem absurd. Sing it with me, all
Space City Nerd.
All right, nerdcore,
got that
chip tune,
got that.
Read the magazine to check out the podcast, action figures,
got that.
Board games,
got that.
TV shows and video games, yeah, we got that. Take flight on a broken satellite. All right.
Hello and welcome to the 96th edition of the Space City Nerd podcast. I'm here. I'm Jesus, along with Sean.
Hi.
Ryan.
Hi.
Oh, jeez. And Rex, who sounds like he's like in the forest where Snow White found the dwarves.
I am in the forest where Snow White found me.
What the hell is all that, like, animal noise?
The dog's next door.
Oh.
I heard birds chirping too.
Yeah, I know.
Probably that's... birds chirp. I'm in the forest with my kin. This is where I moved to. I didn't actually go to Seguin.
Yeah, so for those of you that didn't know, which is probably everybody, but Rex moved to Seguin, Texas. And so he's no longer near us. He's honored.
He's never near me. I'm not near y'all anyway.
Yeah.
Well, he's honorary Space City right now. So we'd want to start off.
Can you tell us a history about
what's up?
Can you tell us about the space program in Seguin?
there isn't one, but strangely enough, there's a ton of comic shops. Also, I don't know if y'all heard me when I mentioned it earlier, and I was having like technical difficulties with my computer and everything. All the game stores up here that I've been to so far just beat the hell out of the ones that we have down here. Like, it's stupid.
Well, it's because all the hipsters go over there and, like, trade in their games when they're done playing them. They're like, oh, I
bought
this
Earthbound. Yeah, also it's all college towns, too.
Yeah, they buy Earthbound for, like, $120, and then they're like...
I need drugs, so let me sell it for $60.
I wasn't even going to say that. also, you'll notice that Rex is going to be a little bit on the wonky side on this technical side. That was me last week. I apologize. I thought I was using my my mic, but I was actually using my webcam mic, so I sounded really stupid. But this week, Rex sounds really stupid because he's on his phone.
Yeah, my internet's not set up yet and won't be till tomorrow, and I don't have my desktop set up because I don't have a monitor at the moment. So that'll be fixed tomorrow as well.
Well, moving along... last Friday night, we had the big Funny Force tour. Rex, he was in Seguin, Texas, so I don't know, he'd missed out on it, but I know Sean, Ryan, and myself were at the Funny Force tour at Alley Cat. Mm-hmm. Dude, I am so impressed by that show.
It was super dope. I like that.
I like that super dope. But no.
It was off to hizzy.
Bit Force really surprised me. It was their first time in Houston. There are a lot of metal cover bands, but they had their own style to it, especially with their projector setup.
Mm-hmm.
Playing through three levels of Sonic consecutively. They did a bunch of anime theme songs as well. And Sean, what was your favorite on them?
Let's see. The Teen Titans Go was pretty well done, but it was also kind of a kick seeing them do the Attack on Titan theme as well, like live.
Yeah.
Pokemon's badass, but I'm going to hold out for that Mega Man medley. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, that was
my
nice.
Word of the day.
Medley? Dope. Oh.
Dope.
It was a dope medley. It was the dopest.
Did they do, I've been meaning to ask you guys, did they do vocals when they did the Attack on Titan theme?
Yes, they did.
Yes,
Holy shit.
Yeah, holy one of the guys shit. I learned this fort just for you guys. Doug Funny was
I was like, he's like da 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 da, and then bunch of Japanese. I don't watch
it. And then Japanese.
I think the theme song's in German, isn't it? For Attack on Titan. right?
Mm-hmm. I think parts of it are, maybe.
Or German. German.
So, I mean, like, German, you know, Japanese. German lyrics to speed metal isn't that crazy.
It's... okay.
We've all seen Evangelion. Like, German's the same as Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
we don't understand it. Same. Yeah, we have no idea what they're saying.
It's the same. We fought them in the war like 40 years ago. They're the same.
Yeah.
Well, but, 40 years ago, it was like 60 years ago. Shit.
Doug Funny also knocked it out of the park. Like, man, that guy, he exerts so much energy that I don't know how he's not a son. And also, we had the Madman crew out there show up for like kind of a last minute thing, but they knocked it out too. Like, I hadn't seen the Madman crew that energetic in a while. And I think there's only two of them because one of them hurt his foot. And they were even saying it's DJ too. And then, of course, Josh, what's up?
I was going to say, freaking Doug Funny had a song about Rufio.
That was
insane.
That Macho Man song was really good too.
Well, yeah, that's for you, but for me, it was a Rufio song. I was like, what's going on?
Just because you're Filipino and Rufio's Filipino.
That too. And I like Hook.
I know I always defend my Windows phone. I know, like, when we had the Houston Gamers, everybody made fun of me for that. And when we were talking about mobile games, everybody was making fun of me for not being able to download the latest and greatest. Well, I feel kind of shitty for doing it, but I had to let go of Windows, mainly for social media. I'm so tired of asking, like, Ryan or Rex or Sean to be posting stuff for me on the Spacey Nerd page. Because Windows Phone does not have a page manager app. So I bought a, what is this phone? A Galaxy S6 or whatever.
Yeah.
While the battery life sucks, because there's like so much like stuff going on in it, it's a pretty neat phone.
Turn off some of the stuff.
I'm learning. Look, like I told you guys, I seriously feel like a grandfather that just got a DVR and is trying to learn it. No, the switch from the Windows Phone OS to the Android OS is just, it's kind of scary for me. Like, I even turned off like all the thumbprint lock crap and all that. I'm like, whatever, I don't need this. And I minimalized everything because I'm like, I can't do this. But I have been playing Adventure Capitalist.
It's way more of just like a standard.
Oh boy.
It's way more of like a standard desktop, but yeah, Adventure Capitalist.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
Man,
I've been.
Can you go to the moon on Adventure Capitalist on Android? Have they patched that in yet?
I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Sean,
I'm on the moon. Yes.
Oh man, that's really a game like that. When I lost interest, it's too much of a. It turns into even more of a grind fest.
Right now I am doing oil rigs or whatever, but I picked up that and then the what is it? What's the other one I bought? The Marvel Future Fight, just to like pass the time. It's basically it's like an ARPG. Of course, it's gonna get grindy and.
Oh, what's the, I mean? How is it?
It's pretty cool. You use like your right thumb as a joystick, and then your left thumb is to press buttons on the screen. And it's basically kind of a beat 'em up.
Oh.
And with leveling up. also, I'm going to bomb everybody because now I have Giphy for Messenger. And I did not have that.
Yeah, see, like, I was sending y'all GIFs. And you were like, how do I send GIFs? You didn't even know how to send a thumbs up on your...
No, I knew how to do the thumbs up. Messenger. I knew how to do the thumbs up, but I couldn't do the inflated thumbs up. This is how stunted I was, and so now I'm like, wow, I realize what's going on. I got Stitcher Radio, so I can listen to our podcast, so if you have been able to grab Stitcher Radio.
Nice.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to go ahead and announce it. I got Snapchat, so there will be a Space City Nerd Snapchat for when we go out doing things. And
I still don't understand that Snapchat.
Oh man, now I can send you pictures of my...
Yeah,
some pictures of your what?
it's to send pictures of your room. And
we
so
all know what Snapchat is for.
I'll send you pictures of my Richard Dreyfuss.
That is literally all Snapchat is for.
I don't get it. It's like, if I want to send people like some goofy ass picture, I text it to them. I don't get Snapchat.
Yeah, but if you want,
like, now I sound like an old man.
Yeah, but if you want to like send a picture of your boobs, and you don't want it on your phone forever, you can just send it through Snapchat.
Or don't send pictures of your boobs because it's a bad idea.
Some people just can't help it.
Mm-hmm. You know, stop all the sexting. I have an addiction.
Did you say stop the sexting?
Yes. Pork chop sandwich chips.
Ryan, you got to have a campaign that is hashtag stop the sexting. But
I'm not even gonna start. I'm done.
But we're also probably gonna grab a Periscope.
Keep it in your shirt and keep it in your pants.
Yes. And show it to the one you love in person.
And only have sex for procreation. In the missionary position.
In the missionary position.
In fact, do it with the lights off, just to be safe.
There could be you gotta do it between sheets. It's between sheets and just a hole in a sheet, and then that's where you do the deed.
Exactly. The world is never gonna see my Richard Simmons.
just what is it? Just use the hole in your pajama pants.
That's exactly what it's for.
Yup.
Just wear long johns.
We are gonna use
the cover like every.
This is gonna sound dirty, but we are gonna be using the Periscope app to broadcast over Twitter.
Okay, what the hell is Periscope?
It's just a live broadcast.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah. Oh. It's like you could stream stuff on there.
Because I've heard like younger, hipper people use the term Periscope, and I just didn't know if they're being like assholes and trying to prank me.
Or some weird sex term that we don't know. Like, I Periscoped him all day. I'm like, what do you mean?
Is that a tout?
Oh god. Wasn't that the WWE's like social media thing?
Yeah, that's when they got Periscope?
No, tout.
No, tout.
Oh, tout. It was like tout. Oh yeah. Videos.
Yeah, it's not even like 5 seconds on or 15 on Vine, it's 3.
So Instagram is 15, Vine is like 6, and this is tout is like 3.
Yeah.
What? Why just not send a picture? You're gonna have short videos.
It's pointless.
Well, no. We have to use Periscope. We have to keep with the times, and we have to be hip and let the young kids know that we're hip with them too. So we'll be using Periscope as well.
Yo, kids, check us out on the Periscope with us and the Biebs. I don't know.
We start making rap videos for Periscope.
Oh, we're gonna start sending Rex into middle schools to infiltrate.
That's such a bad idea.
We just have to shave it. We have to shave down his body hair a little bit, and then he'll be great.
We're gonna give him a backwards cap and a skateboard. Like, what's up, kids? How y'all? Who else was watching Disney Channel last night? That show was sick.
Man. How was that episode, Degrassi? They still watch Degrassi, right?
I think they mostly watch that cuckolding show now. The
Bella and the Bull.
Yeah.
Oh god, I don't even want to get started on that.
Do they know about Twin Peaks?
I don't even want to get started with Bella and the Bull. That thing is.
But the David Lynch? What?
No, but
David Lynch is Bella and the Bulldogs.
Oh god.
Yes.
wait, Sean and Ryan, do you guys know what we're talking about when we say Bella and the Bulldogs?
No, I don't know what the. It's just some Disney Channel show. I don't know what this.
It's
I don't know what this
Nickelodeon
is.
Show. It's a Nickelodeon show about cuckolding.
Okay, I know what cuckolding is, but yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and there's a Nickelodeon show about it, and that's basically it.
So it's a kid's show about a woman going and doing stuff with other men to make her boyfriend jealous?
That's the big theory behind it, because
Nickelodeon
hired a writer who had a movie, like a softcore porn movie, about cuckolding, to write Bella and the Bulldog. And so all these tinfoil guys are like, everyone, oh man. No. These tinfoil guys are like, oh man. So there's the lead character is a white chick. And then there's a black dude who's like a lead character also. And then
he's like the alpha.
And then there's like a white kid that's like all goofy and like always bumbles over things and all that. So he's apparently the cuckold. And the black dude is a bull, and Bella is the girl. And...
What's a black dude's name, man? Dingo? I
thought there'd be like.
Why are we watching kids now?
I thought there'd be like more concrete evidence of this theory, like, and then they're all on the bang bus together.
No, essentially, like, there's a lot of common themes from that guy's last movie and the cuckolding community in general, and a lot of imagery that's in the show. Well, and his the guy's introduction. There's a whole community around it that people participate in. It's fucking weird.
Son of a god damn.
What's
a community? Is it R cuckolding?
I think
there is R cuckolding. I'm sure there is.
I think the most like apparent way to do it is because the whole thing Bella and the Bull. That's like the big evidence behind it.
Yeah, because that's the nickname for when you're cuckold, the guy is called the Bull. So all right.
Well, I mean, yeah, cuckolding is like all the way back to like, you know, Chaucer, you know, like Canterbury Tales is one of the Canterbury Tales is about cuckolding, right?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Which one?
Oh man.
Ryan, you're like, which one? Which one is this one?
Because the Canterbury Tales Miller's like Tale? A bunch of characters. It's interesting.
I want to say Miller's Tale? Alex? Okay. Alex Trebek, am I right?
We'll have to look that up.
Oh, no, there's one of them where it's like, where there's some crazy, like, butt stuff and adultery. I don't know.
See, okay, before anybody is like, oh, this is disgusting, we are talking about stuff that's on Nickelodeon, so it's not disgusting, and also that's stuff that was in Chaucer, so it's educational.
Culture.
Exactly. Yes. Also, you're right.
It's the Miller's Tale.
Too, because I've watched a lot of this show, like, after, like, 4chan went crazy and was like, oh, it's about cuckolding. Like, Rhea and I sat and watched a lot of the show, and it's a lot less creepy than all the Dan Schneider shows from the past decade and all their, like, weird foot fetish, like, shit that he indulges in those shows, like iCarly and that other one with that other girl that's a pop star now. All those shows are way more creepy than the cuckolding show. Yeah, it's on Hulu, actually. So you can watch it too.
So wait, this girl became a football whatever?
She's like a football player or something, or cheerleader. I don't know what it is. I was just laughing at the graphic that I saw because it's so like, it's people just trying to make things out of whatever. So, and
it's way over the top.
That's a skinny black kid.
Are you saying that Nickelodeon show isn't naturally acted? They're not gonna win any Emmys.
Oh Lord!
I like this. I'm looking at a picture right now. There's a country kid, Asian girl. I guess that's Bella. Black kid, sassy brunette girl, and goofy white kid.
Yep. Are there any shots of adults making like that face where they're just like, I don't know what to do, and it's just like they're scrunched up and they're just like look older than they actually are. Because they're adults.
That's every Nickelodeon show for the past 20 years.
Is she related to Kim Basinger? What, her name is Beck? Is she?
I don't know.
That girl, because her name is Breck Basinger. I don't know.
That's your homework for next week. You're going to get on and you're going to tell us if Breck Basinger is related to Kim Basinger.
I'm just going to watch Cool World.
So we were supposed to talk about Ant-Man for that little section, but Bell and the Bulldogs.
Everyone's
over.
Talked about Ant-Man this week, I'm sure. Bell and the Bulldogs has not been discussed on any
podcast.
But
I want
to
talk about Ant-Man.
Here's all you need to know about Ant-Man. It's a great movie. Paul Rudd is a natural. Like, he's just Paul Rudd. And also, Michael Peña steals the show because Michael Peña is the best actor in that movie. That's
yeah, see, Michael Peña is definitely the best actor. I also like the Russian guy. He had, like, two lines, but I like the Russian guy.
All right, so...
he's pretty
the work of gypsies.
Oh, yeah, that guy. So we are going to go ahead and take our first break. This is Juice Lee. Not Bruce Lee, but Juice Lee. This is his song, his track Castlevania off of his Double Dragon album. You can find it at juice-lee.bandcamp.com. And we'll be right back after this.
Prologue, put my supplies on my horse's back. As the sun sets, I'm getting ready for the attack. And it hurts now, that demon star up under my shirt. Remember what my daddy told me, that from birth I was cursed. And I'm grown now, and since my train has come to an end, and my father is buried, now my quest can truly begin. To save my fam, and stop the scar from corrupting me too. I'm on a quest to resurrect and murder Nosferatu too.
I got to resist my bloodlust when I see your butter brush. Let me kiss your neck just a little bit. Come on, baby, hush. While you sleep, I'm staying up. When you bump, I'm laying down. Undead, next to the dead. Your coffin's underground. I think you don't make a sound, but I hear your heart be loud. Now I'm out hunting my daddy. Guess that that don't make him proud. I prefer the royal blade. You prefer the morning star. But we both want father dead. Hello, I am Alucard.
Do you have the heart to try to walk through Castlevania? Could you survive? But now you Castlevania. Do you know what horrors lie in Castlevania?
Yeah, we like the danger.
This track is so long, battling through cities and swamps, fighting the undead. Castles, demons frequently haunt. I'm using holy water to cleanse and end the existence. I'm enduring this pain, but I could use some assistance. As I rip off the head of Frankenstein with my whip, I feel Dracula's bitter hands slowly tighten their grip. One monster after another seem to fall to their knees, until I found a tortured soul that had a similar need.
Because I need to be free from the shadow of my father. Feels like I'm drowning underwater. His presence my stigmata. So why should I even bother to continue this grudge between your bloodline and mine? Why feud over blood that we can see eye to eye? Dracula must die. Stake him and throw him in the sunlight and watch him cry. If you need an helping hand, then I'm your guy. We'll meet tomorrow at dusk, but now I'm off to the sky.
Do you have the heart to try to walk through Castlevania? Could you survive a night in Castlevania? Do you know what horrors lie in Castlevania?
Yeah, we like the game.
This is it, my family name and my entire bloodline is resting upon my shoulders, let's leave nothing behind. Beads of sweat, they trickle off and cover my face. I'm not nervous, there's only hatred and revenge on my stakes.
No mistakes can be made, I'm as sharp as a blade. I'm sorry, father, but it's time that you return to the grave. His anger burned like a blaze and shot up under my feet. I transformed into a bat and quickly dodged his attack.
Helton Dracul with fire bombs, he can hardly withstand him. Through divine intervention, we are working in tandem. He's still thinking of speed, the advantage he got. But it don't matter, cause the kid will stop time with his watch.
Now it's time for me to strike. Good night, sleep tight. Then daddy was reborn into another form, but we kept the heat on, keeping on till he's gone. It's not a game. Then we watched him go up in flames.
Do you have the heart to try to walk through Castlevania? Could you survive a night in Castlevania? Do you know what horrors lie in Castlevania?
Yeah, we like the danger.
So that was a Castlevania by Juice Lee. Once again, you can find that at juice-lee.bandcamp.com. And of course, he will be performing at Classic Game Fest this weekend. Another thing that's going on at Classic Game Fest this weekend is going to be the screening of Nintendo Quest, which is like a movie that I'm hyped on seeing. And tonight with us, we have Rob McCallum of the movie to talk to us a little bit about it. How's it going, Rob?
Oh, man, I am so pumped for Austin and the subsequent screening in Houston. You guys have no idea. I'm sitting here in Las Vegas, pretty much staring at the clock, waiting for my flight to take off. I'm jazzed for Classic Game Fest, man.
No, so are we. Like, last year we went as a group, nice. And I think it was our favorite convention of the whole year.
It was definitely my favorite convention of the whole year. Like, It's overwhelming. It's so small, but it's so overwhelming. You're gonna have a great time.
Yeah, no, he like.
I didn't get to go, so the jealousy was overwhelming.
No, we lost Rex a couple of times during the weekend because he just. I think he created like a bathtub full of Nintendo cartridges for himself and just dug himself in there.
Yup,
it's an 8-bit bath.
So tell us a little bit about Nintendo Quest.
Nintendo Quest is it's been a dream come true for me. For everybody that doesn't know about it, the premise is pretty simple, and if you're a collector, you're going to be all over it. I essentially dared my best friend and star of the film, Jay Bartlett, to collect all 670 retail North American release NES games, so like the original NES from the mid-80s that you guys grew up on, I'm sure, like Jay and I did. And I dared him to do this because this has always been like his lifelong dream to own like a complete library. So I said, you know what, man? You've been collecting games forever. Why don't you just do it? Wow. And I'm going to dare you to do it in a month. And you can't use the internet in any way. So now he has to do it in person. You can't go online. Wow. You can't get games that way. So it became the ultimate 8-bit road trip where throughout filming this whole endeavor, we crisscrossed over 10,000 miles across North America, including stops in Houston and Austin, as we made our rounds, so to speak. And along the way, we interviewed people of the industry and legends and icons of the gaming scene and asked them, you know, what made the NES, you know, so important when it first landed and why is it still relevant today? Because clearly it is if a guy is going to go use basically 30 days of his summer and deplete his whole bank account 30 yeah. years later to hunt down these cards. So what makes it stand the test of time? And, you know, I don't want to tip my hat or anything, but it's a lot more than just nostalgia. It's a lot more than nostalgia. So it's kind of a two-hander. We get to follow Jay on his journey, and we get to kind of revisit some, you know, more true standard documentary practices with some interviews of you know classic greats like Tommy Tallarico, Walter Day's in it, Billy Mitchell's in it, Ben Gold, Thor Ackerland, who won NWC's in it. It's we got a cool cast of cats for you guys.
So why is the Nintendo so important for you?
For me, it's what changed my life. And I don't say that lightly. It's the first medium that really hooked me into storytelling in a way that I never expected. I grew up on movies like a lot of people. Books were never really my thing. Like I read here and there, but I was never really engrossed into the written. But when I played a game like Final Fantasy, where I could control a character and participate in a story like that, that changed everything for me. Like everything. And that just started a huge snowball that, you know, it hasn't stopped.
Yeah, so now that
to this day, I don't think there's enough games like that.
No, I don't want to spoil the ending, like if you guys accomplish the mission or not. But I'm pretty sure his collection has grown vastly. Are you kind of jealous of it?
Sure. No, because Jay and I don't kind of work like that when it comes to collecting. We've never been like rival collectors, but by any means. And while we are touring Nintendo Quest, we're filming every kind of lead up to the screening. So we'll be filming in Austin at Classic Game Fest. And we each have a list of games that we're trying to knock off, but we don't know what's on each other's list. So it's kind of like, help the guy out. Maybe this is what he's looking for. But when it came to Nintendo Quest, it was never a thing of jealousy. I want this guy to get his dreams. Why would I want to stand in the way of that? And sure, his collection definitely grew. I mean, how could it not? And I was just happy. Every cart that I saw him get was, it just brought nothing but happiness to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't even saying it like that because like, I have a ton of action figures that Ryan's like, I wish I had those, but I like the fact that you have them. You know, kind of like that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of action figures, man, I'm a huge Masters of the Universe collector. Yeah. I'm a huge Masters of the Universe He-Man collector, and I had to sell my entire vintage collection to help fund Nintendo Quest. I get where you're coming from. Yeah. I had like packaged He-Man, Skeletor, like on card, Modulok, like mints. Oh, yeah. Snake Mountain in the box, like everything.
What are you going to get into classics now, the Masters and Unis classics line?
I have a bunch of the classics. I've really refrained from those, but the new Club Filmation that they released this year or teased this year at San Diego Comic-Con looks quite intriguing, so I'm probably going to jump into that specific subline.
Yeah, so if you guys didn't know, Mattel has a subscription service for Masters of the Universe classics. They are getting some stuff that are basically He-Man ripped out of the screen from the Filmation cartoon. and they look gorgeous. And also they announced Thundercats Classics too.
Yeah, that was a big reveal. That was a big reveal.
Yeah. But anyways, we've gone all away from this. Mm. So how long did Nintendo Quest take to film? Because I mean, aside from the month,
it's a long time. I mean, obviously Jay's 30 days, like you said, we filmed 2 weeks before that started in San Diego Comic-Con, actually, in 2013. See, it's all looping back. It's all making sense. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks to kind of get who Jay is and kind of film where he is and do all his sit down interviews, plus the people that knew him and other people in the community. The 30 days, and then we literally filmed for an entire year after that. So September 2013 to 2014, just getting more and more interviews with people. Our last interview was Tommy Tallarico, a classic Game Expo in Vegas in 2014. And then we locked the film like 2 weeks later. And when you lock a film, essentially you don't touch any more of the visual stuff. You send it to audio post for final mixing and, softening and dialogue cuts and stuff like that, and that's when the music composition was refined as well, and we mixed it in 5.1.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah. So how long has it been out? Like, because I saw on the website that you guys have been doing screenings basically all over the world, because there's some in the UK as well. No,
yeah, we had our world premiere last month in Beverly Hills on Rodeo Drive, of course. That was pretty awesome that landed in our lap. And then 2 days later in Vegas. And basically, Austin is stop number three. Houston is stop number four. It is playing in Cambridge, UK on the 25th. Unfortunately, we can't make that because we can't be both in Austin and Cambridge. But we hope to Skype in for the Q&A after that. And it just continues to grow and expand it. It's not available for purchase yet on DVD. That'll happen this fall. We do have a distribution partner who is going to be taking it literally around the world to different markets for us, and there'll be more information about that coming the fall as well. But it's, we're really targeting October as like kind of big information release month, because that's 30 years of NES in America. So it all kind of lines up.
Yeah, and then I was also checking out some of your other work. You're working on a documentary right now, right?
I'm working on a couple of documentaries right now, actually. Which one did you see?
The one only because I had a crush on the emo girls that were in it, the kitty group.
Sure, yeah. that's what I've been actually toiling away the last week, and I was watching a cut earlier from where we are so far. It's, if you're a huge fan of heavy metal, chances are you know Kitty, and we're from the same town. We grew up with the same circle of friends, and it was cool to be able to kind of jump on board that project and direct and edit that and shoot and all that fun stuff. So it's great.
I apologize for calling them emo instead of metal, but it was the early 2000s, and you know, anything that looked dark to me was emo. Because
that's okay. I won't tell them where you live. They'll kill you if they find out. I'm just kidding. Morgan and Mercedes are awesome.
So you mentioned that you had a list that you're going to be bringing to Classic Games Fest. What are some of the games on that list?
I can't tell you that, because if Jay hears, then if they're on his list too, he might try to scoop that up. And I know it's not a competition. Let's just say that there's stuff from like all eras of gaming and all formats. So everything from like Intellivision, Atari Age. I'm a huge Genesis fan, so there's a lot of there's a good chunk of Genesis games on there, and GameCube definitely, and one Dreamcast title.
Okay, so it's no longer Nintendo Quest; it's just Game Quest.
Well, for you guys, what we're calling the Nintendo Quest. This is called like Nintendo Quest Power Tour, right? And we have a podcast as well called GamerCast, which we talk about gaming from all eras. So we look at what's happening in the gaming world, and we take a look at those headlines and say, why is this headline important and not just clickbait? And so we usually relate it back to everything that's happened across all eras, because it's all cyclical, right? Mm-hmm. So with stuff like Mario Maker coming out, what is the history of platforming? Why is Mario Maker necessary in today's world? Is it really an evolution of stuff that started with like Little Big Planet or other level designers? What more does it bring to the table? So we talk about stuff like that. So while Nintendo Quest is very much focused on Nintendo and the NES community, Jay and I have been gamers of all passions for so long. We're brand atheists. We're console agnostic, as we call it.
So right now that you mentioned Mario Maker, I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence of it being a $60 game. Do you believe that it, it deserves that price tag?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I believe you get like 100 pre-made levels in there. So that's almost like a brand new side-scrolling Mario game, or three of them, depending on how many you expect per Mario game. And you get this awesome creation tool where you can share with your buddies online. It's definitely worth $60 because the third component is the big X factor of Nintendo. Every time Nintendo releases a good game that they create, it's always awesome. It's always awesome. It's always fun, and it always stands the test of time.
Yeah. And it's like the next game that comes out that I think Iwata was involved with too, so...
Womp womp.
Well, that's a buzzkill.
Thanks. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I sighed out of respect. No, we actually had a whole half show dedicated to Iwata last week because we miss him. So you said that there's going to be a Houston stop as well, aside from Classic Game Fest.
That's correct. It's playing at the Draft House in Katy. And actually, I got a message from the Houston Chronicle today, so there should be a review of the film in the paper either this week or Monday morning. So I look forward to that, guys.
Well, Brian.
Sweet.
Sean, you're going to watch that the movie and review it at Classic Game Fest.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, another review we got to look forward to. Pins and needles.
This is the only one that matters, too, so.
I understand. Yeah. I understand.
No, what we're going to do is while you show the movie at Classic Game Fest, we're going to have Sean sitting there with a notepad and a pencil, and we're gonna have
like
him
one of those like clickers.
Yeah,
I think guys, we're gonna use like Periscope and like broadcast it on Twitch or something like that.
See, Sean, Periscope, there, he's used it too.
Oh my god, it's all over me now. Okay,
see, we can go Periscope it and be really loud as you watch the movie and just critique it like this stinks.
there you go, it's Mystery Science Theater, right?
Rex, are you like in some kind of pit bull fight over there?
Yeah, you're doing some illegal. No, they're dog just barking from outside.
Yeah, I heard all the barking.
If it's a pit bull fight, it'll be some guy yelling out like, you know, Miami, and then a bunch of different Spanish names. Pit bull, right?
I apologize, Rob. You have to put up with us.
No, I love the shenanigans. I just don't know where to jump in because I don't want to cross the line. I don't want to be that guy.
Don't worry. Right before we talked to you, we talked about cuckolding in Nickelodeon shows.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so there's no line anymore.
The line has been erased, gentlemen.
Exactly. So, you know, as you're collecting and everything, what is your Grail game?
Oh, man. Now I got to – what a good question. I got to turn around. I got a bunch of stuff, I guess – it's pretty good. I mean, I got Dino Peak, which is cool.
No, what is the story
behind that?
When I say what is your Grail game, is what is the one game that you're searching for that is
the one I haven't attained yet. I would like a factory sealed DuckTales 2.
Wow.
That would probably be
yeah.
I've got a CIB already, but I want a factory sealed one. I've got a factory sealed Darkwing. I got a bunch of factory sealed stuff, but that's up there for sure, I would say.
Wow. I just want
or GameCubes and 2K3, NCAA 2K3. Yeah, that'd be a good one too.
I just have a hard time finding Shaq Fu, and that's the only one I want, so.
I get it, man. The struggle is real.
Did you see the PlayStation? What was it, Rex? The PlayStation Super Nintendo?
Oh, yeah, no, like, that was, like, yeah, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, because we talked about it on the show, somebody found it was just sitting in a box in his dad's garage, apparently, right now, the only
in Philadelphia,
surviving
right,
prototype of the Nintendo PlayStation, yeah.
Well, yeah, apparently there's been four that have come out over the last 15 years.
Oh, man.
So. That's
basically,
a lot of people usually put, like, Grails definitely on that list. Like for games, they're usually the ones that are like, oh, I gotta get that. Even like arcade cabs fall into that list, but consoles are rarely on there. But that one, I definitely say,
that one goes on there.
We'll make room for it on the shelf.
It's like, what shelf after you're not gonna have a house because you have to like sell your house to get it, you know?
But yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, with a system with only four right now, geez. But once again, you guys are going to be you have a podcast too, don't you?
Yeah, Gamercast. You can check it out on iTunes, search Gamercast with J. Robin Glenn, or on Podomatic. nesclub.podomatic.com. And if you join our Facebook page, you'll see all our posts, facebook.com/thenesclub. All our links are on there. Definitely reach out. We've got lots of stuff happening on Twitter. But Facebook is our main hub where you get to kind of, you know, hang out in the nucleus or the epicenter of everything Nintendo Quest.
Yeah, exactly. And you guys don't talk about cuckolding on Nickelodeon shows, right?
No. We wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that's
good. What about in NES games? Because it's way more obvious at times.
Yeah, we definitely talk about NES games. Did you guys know that we're coming out with our own NES game because of the success of our last Kickstarter campaign?
No, please elaborate.
Yeah,
I saw that.
It's pretty cool.
I didn't see that.
We raised over 40 grand on our last Kickstarter campaign because we knew the film was done and we just wanted to see if anybody else wanted to kind of pre-order it on disc, because at that point we were only going to release it in a digital form on iTunes or on Vimeo and stuff like that. That's all since changed. And one of the stretch goals at 25 grand, we said that we would make a game based on the film. So this is going to be a game in which you go around collecting NES games.
Nice.
Please let it be better than an Angry Video Game Nerd's game.
Well, it's not a platformer, right? So it's not going to flip the same tropes. It's going to take on an RPG.
Oh, wow.
Style of play, like a turn-based kind of thing. So you're basically going to get to go through all these towns, visit all these shops, and look for these games. And there's a heightened fantasy element in that DigiCorp Unlimited has started to digitize all the games, and it's up to you to save these physical artifacts from, you know, digitization and utter destruction. So once DigiCorp has them all, they're going to destroy the artifact, and you'll be left with nothing but digital copies of the games you love. And he's infected all the collectors out there with binary energy. So you've got to toil away against the darkness of digital games.
That actually sounds good. We could, we would never be able to come up with an idea like that.
Well, that's what we're here for, right?
Well, thank you, Rob, for your time. We're so excited to see the movie on Sunday, right? At 2 o'clock?
2:30, I believe, and we got some guests in town, so hopefully you guys will get to hang out with them. They'll appear in the film and stuff. So, yeah, looking forward to meeting you guys, and the random rendezvous is on 6th Street with a few sodas, yeah?
Yes, sodas. With lots of whiskey and Coke. I mean,
I like it.
Yeah, no, we'll meet up definitely on Saturday. And also,
and then if you're not going to Classic Game Fest, make sure to check it out at the Alamo Draft House, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 7:30 on Monday, July 27th. We'll definitely be there. And sounds like a lot of people are grabbing tickets and people are reserving seats already. So go to drafthouse.com, search it, the Houston one. And like I said, it's playing at Katy in Katy, Texas there. 7:30, July 27th, Monday. We want to see you guys there.
So there you go. You have you have Classic Games Fest, and you have also the Alamo Draft House as an option to go. I know we're based out of Houston, so you have no excuse now not to go see this masterpiece of a documentary.
Thank you for the kind words.
And expect Sean's harsh review of the movie on Sunday too. So
the Citizen Kane of NES card collecting documentary.
This is the two-dumb moon of a
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and leave you guys with a track from Joydeca. Once again, you can search for Nintendo Quest on Facebook and add them on there and everything. And we'll be right back after this. And so that was Dr. Wily's theme for Mega Man 2 by Droid Deka. You can find that at Droid Deka, DROIDEKKA, .bandcamp.com. They will be playing at Classic Game Fest, I think on... Let me make sure real quick. They will be playing...
at some point.
At some point. Oh, look, I found them. They will be playing on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Dude, they're getting things early, like started up early there. Like 10 a.m., you got to be there for the good stuff. I really kind of want to sit down with the Richard Garriott Q&A. Because that's Richard Garriott.
Yeah.
And stuff.
That's going to be his Q&A. He's just going to stand up there and be like, I'm Richard Garriott.
Well, no, he's got a panel that's talking about Ultima Online. And then right after that, it's the Q&A. It was funny. I actually walked into Game Over, and I know Game Over is putting on Classic Game Fest. Mm-hmm. But they had a sealed Ultima there for $80. Like, yeah. I was so, like, it was hard to resist to just buy it so I could take it out to the festival this weekend. But it's $80.
Yeah. I mean, cards on the table. Who here played Ultima?
I didn't.
You did?
I didn't.
The NES one, yeah.
I remember playing, like, Ultima on a computer when I was a kid and not being able to get out of the first town and being like, I don't like this game. I can't play it. Dude, it's too advanced for me.
When I was a kid, I remember there was a little like mom and pop video store that was maybe like 3 blocks away from me, so I could walk there. And these guys would get, of course, like all the Nintendo stuff early. And when I was in first grade, we would get out really, really early. And my mom would just be like, here's like $3, go find yourself a new game. And I would. And I remember getting Ultima there. I played... I remember playing like Bayou Billy for the first time there too.
That game.
Yeah. And also, we just played a track off of Mega Man 2. I first played Mega Man 2 there. And like I said, I mentioned before in one of our other podcasts, like I rage quitted for the first time on that with that game. But dude, I miss those like little mom and pop shops where you could go by that. Growing up in Santa Fe, Texas, which is like a really little small town. We used to have a video store before. Actually, we have no video store. We just have Red Boxes in Santa Fe now. But there was a video store that the dude that was there, he was a huge, huge nerd. And he decided that an anime section would be great. And this is before like the big anime wave became huge. And so he had a bunch of his own like personal, like I guess, pirated VHS videos out for rent. It was really neat though.
He's making money off of his pirated videos. That sounds like a Santa Fe thing.
No, it's like before they were easy to get, you know, during that era where you had to get like, you could even
easy to get or not, it's still pirated.
It's like when you had to go to Planet Anime. Planet Anime had some pirated videos too, because of the fact that's the only way you could get it is because they were fan translations.
Yeah, to trade the tapes.
Yeah, you had to get like a fifth generation copy or whatever.
And then you got the trackings all jank on that.
Yeah. He probably had like the fan translated versions of Dragon Ball Z that were just like filled with cuss words.
Oh, those are so good. Somebody, like, I guess it was last year, was ripping their VHSs of those and putting them up on YouTube and trying to make like a giant repository of them on YouTube. And I watched a bunch of it and it was, man. What the fuck, even?
I have a VHS somewhere with Project Aiko I recorded off Saturday Anime.
I have a VHS somewhere that still has the horrible Fox Generation X movie.
Oh, man.
Oh, God, I remember taping that off of Fox.
And I think I have a bunch of, like, VHSs from Pizza Hut. I have the Ninja Turtle ones and a couple of the X-Men cartoons and stuff. I still have a ton of VHS. I'm just gonna like dump them out one day.
I'm looking at right now. I left like about half of my collection in Houston, and I've still got 3 full like giant cardboard boxes of them sitting in our living room right now. So
nice.
Mostly anime and fan subs.
Yeah. So this weekend though in Austin, Classic Game Fest is going down. We're going to be there as media guests, and like we mentioned before, we will be casting on the floor live. We're going to teach Sean how to use Periscope so he can like review the Nintendo Quest movie.
We're going to have casting calls, but using a Periscope.
Oh, yeah. That sounds really cool.
Casting calls.
Oh, boy.
Another couch. The other type of casting.
Oh. Yeah, we have a leather couch in the back. It's going to be great.
But that's going to go down. And also, I mean, man, like we've been mentioning how great of a little like convention this is. I don't know if it's going to be little this year. It was small, medium. It was smaller than any of these big conventions, but it provided us with so much more entertainment. And we can't really.
It's a grower, not a show.
What's that?
It's a grower, not a shower.
it's really hard to give you guys an idea of how fun it is, and how to emphasize how, I don't know. It's like it's a little giant, basically. I think this year they got a little bit bigger. What's up?
Little giant?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not like the Rick Moranis, Ed O'Neill movie. It's not a team member from Little Giant.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. But but it's a very entertaining, convention. And a lot of, we're big fans of nerdcore, so all these people like. Classic Games Fest manages to get all these like great nerdcore acts on stage, and the stage is in the same room as everything else that's going on. So while you're shopping, you get to listen to some great bands. Are you guys looking to buy anything this year?
That's always a good question. I mean, because I haven't really been picking up like physical cartridges of anything for a while, but there's always like a very patently joyous moment when you actually like hold a cartridge in your hand, you know, and you're just like, exactly. Yes. Like,
yeah, I'm
if I could have a time machine and show this to my child self, you know, 20 years ago and be like, it happens. You could buy it on your own.
So there's really not like a cartridge that you would want to have or want to own.
Maybe I'd be looking for a copy of Bucky O'Hare.
Ah, that's a good game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to Chuck E. Cheese's until I was like 16 or 17 just because they had a Bucky O'Hare machine there.
Mm-hmm. It works well, like on the NES, by the way.
What's up?
Bucky O'Hare Arcade works in MAME now as of like a couple of months ago. Because it didn't work for the longest time, and now it does, and that was a great moment when I played that again for the first time since I was like 10.
Is the Bucky O'Hare Arcade and the NES different? I mean, aside from graphically?
Yeah.
Yes, well, they're NES, way different.
Okay.
A little bit more like kind of like a Mega Man-ish shooter on the NES.
Oh, yeah, and I remember the difference. Ryan, you got anything that you want to buy?
Well, not really. I might end up getting a Retron if I really, really, really want it. Not, I mean, it's not really a priority. It's not like I get to play games anymore.
I'm an adult. I don't get to play games.
Yeah, no, I'm an adult. I got shit to do.
Right.
I got to do podcasting nights. So I can't
scope all day. Murmur.
Yes. So, I mean, I really wanted Technomancer for Dreamcast, and I own two copies of that now, so whatever.
Wait. You want Technomancer, but you already own two copies?
No. I wanted Technomancer, but I already have two copies, so I don't really need it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have an American and a PAL version.
Because wow.
Well, you need the NTSC J version, too.
It doesn't matter. I do have a Japanese
version. You need the version you can't read.
Yeah, it's a fighting game. You don't need to read a fighting game.
Yeah, because they have like such unique storylines and stuff. Rex, you looking for anything?
No, stop.
My big thing that I'm looking for this year, and I really hope they have it because they haven't had it their last couple conventions. So I've been they're the conventions that they've attended. So I'm holding out hope that they've just been saving it for this one, and there's going to be good finds in there. The giant booth with just loose discs for $1. that was my favorite part of last year, was going through all the sports games and finding I wound up picking up I picked up Bratz the Movie for PS2, which I still haven't played, but I also got a Space Jam for PS1 and Blinks the Time Sweeper and Call of Cthulhu on original Xbox.
Man,
That Call of Cthulhu game goes for $80 online, and really? I just found it there for $1. Yeah.
Damn,
I have a copy.
I let a friend borrow. Ryan, do you have my copy? But no, I don't have your copy.
My copy. Because I'm a big Lovecraft fan back in the day.
No, I had.
Teenagers were.
I had two copies of it, and I let some people borrow it, and then it disappeared. That sucks.
You have a copy that you can't read.
Yeah, that one's really, really expensive now.
Yeah, I've got it on Steam, so that's cool. Plus, I don't have any. I don't have an original Xbox, so I can't play that anyway.
I always need an original Xbox with me because I have Steel Battalion, and I always need a means to play it if I need to, take it out.
Do you have the giant controller?
Yeah, it's the only way you can play it.
Can we do that for Extra Life this year?
Huh?
Can we do that for Extra Life this year? Because that would be amazing. I've never gotten to play that.
Yeah, that's dumb. It's. I mean, the game doesn't. Yes. The whole thing about the whole game is there's no tutorial. The very first level is your commander telling you, keep cleaning, scrub. You're gonna pilot these one day, but today is not now. And then they get attacked, and then you have to get onto the mech.
That's amazing. That's better than Titanfall. Titanfall, you have to have an hour worth of tutorials, and then
But in Titanfall. If you die, they don't delete your save game. If you die, they delete your save game. If you eject too much, they demote you and it deletes your save game.
What, you're not hardcore enough for that?
Yeah, that's what I'll do. It'll say, you're not hardcore enough to be on the front lines. We're going to push you back and be a paper pusher. Delete your save game.
That's amazing.
Did DOKJ work on that game or something?
I don't know if I worked on that game.
That's amazing, though. Personally,
you're not man enough.
I'm looking for the Space Adventure Cobra game. It's a horrible game, but I always just wanted to own it. Been a big fan of the anime since a buddy of mine showed it to me. And it's really hard to find because it's actually just called The Space Adventure.
Oh. So every time you look online for a space adventure, it just shows those cabinets from the 40s.
Yeah, no, it gives you.
Yeah, freaking out. Why won't people back in the day consider SEO? Damn it.
I'm hoping to maybe eventually find that one day. I've been searching for that one. There was one on eBay that got let go for $99, and I was like, man. But aside from that, that's all I'm looking for. But it's always also cool because the bands bring physical CDs, the Nerdcore people, and it's always fun to pick up a lot of their stuff. Bitforce is going to be there, and so is Doug Funny Rex, so you can see them.
Yay, I'm excited.
Wait, no, it's on Saturday.
No.
Shit, of course it is.
Unfortunately, Rex won't be able to join us on Saturday, so he's going to... Let's see what you're going to be missing. You're going to be missing...
all the fun.
You're going to be missing the Duke Nukem 3D tournament.
I know. I'm so... That if okay, so actually, and I'm toying with the idea of doing this, but I'm probably not... actually going to do this. If I wake up early enough on Saturday and I time it right, I can go for a little bit of the day because I only live about an hour away. So,
yeah, well, you're going to miss Sir Richard Garriott talking about Ultima, the Street Fighter 2. You're going to miss me winning that Street Fighter 2 arcade tournament. You're gonna miss Killer Instinct Classic, and you're gonna miss the costume contest, which I'm gonna be up there. I'm gonna dress up as one of the female Indians from Custer's Last Stand. And actually, that's all you'll miss. So you're not missing too much. Yeah, not maybe. Too much. Maybe aside from like all the plane trade deals for the first day.
Yeah, I was about to say I'm missing about 8 or 9 hours of just being able to walk the con floor, and I feel like I'm gonna get there on Sunday and just feel too rushed and just be sad the whole time. Except for it's gonna be hard to be sad because it's gonna be so awesome, and I'm gonna get Howard Scott Warshaw to sign a bag of Reese's Pieces, and I'm gonna display them somehow.
Nice, that's awesome. Yup. Yeah, he's going to be on Sunday with Ernie Klein. So if you have either Armada or Ready Player One, you can bring that out. Armada just released, didn't it?
Yes. It came out last Tuesday.
I think it's right on time. So.
I'm going to have to sign my Kindle because, you know, in physical books, they're too heavy to carry.
Exactly. Get your copies of those books now before they come out with, like, the inevitable, like, based on the major motion picture.
Oh yeah,
because they're those books are kind of prime for movie treatments.
Actually,
they've
Ready
Player One's already happening. I went into Hastings yesterday. We have Hastings down here, and they've got a display of like coming soon to cinemas, and they've got a bunch of copies of Ready Player One.
Same.
Which also said Hastings. Now a major motion picture on them.
Yeah, what's a
okay? So Hastings.
Hastings like was where Barnes I used Noble, to go get... except... No, Hastings used to just be movies, because I remember running Fraggle Rock and Muppet Show from there, but now they've turned into like a... Yeah, it used to be a movie... It used to be like
an FYE?
It is like FYE, except for they have rentals, which means that I can drive like 3 minutes down the road and rent Wii U games, whereas when I was living in Houston, there was nowhere to rent Wii U games. But now I don't have to buy Splatoon because I can just rent it for $1 a day.
Yeah, but you need
what? What is this rental?
I'm gonna buy it eventually.
You can red. Wait, you can Redbox these, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Except so, you walk into the store and then like you Redbox it from now. Them.
You should periscope yourself inside the Hastings.
Do you know who the owners of Hastings are?
Mm-mm.
Mr. Hastings.
No, for those of you that are action figure collectors, NECA.
Hashtag Hastings. NASA Liquor.
NECA.
Did you call me?
Oh. NECA Wafers?
No, yeah, NECA,
NECA
the...
Wafers.
NECA the...
Ew.
The action figures.
Oh, NECA.
Yeah.
I thought you meant NECA Wafers. I was like, nobody buys that fucking candy.
No, NECA is actually the owners of Hastings and stuff, so I'm gonna send you on a quest for lots of stuff, Rex, when they come out with action figures that I can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, definitely. It's literally like I could walk there and it would take like not long.
Oh, okay. So are we gonna sign up for the marathon concert tournament?
What's the marathon tournament?
The marathon tournament,
like
Halo before
Bungie?
Halo.
Oh, yep. That.
Oh,
I thought
you,
there was like a marathon. I was like, I am running.
No, marathon is getting a tournament, which is weird but cool as well. But I think it's going to be, remember last year, Rex, the guys that had all the Macs on?
Yes, I remember that very well because I spent a lot of time at that booth playing Oregon Trail.
It's going to be those guys that are going to be doing that.
Sweet.
So, once again, you can buy your wristbands still. There are going to be 20 at the door, 15, if you go to Game Over right now and pick them up. Hey, 15 is way better than, like...
I know, that's great. 15 at the door.
Yep. Yeah. I paid for mine in
Five bucks gas?
Yesterday, and it felt so good.
Oh, God, Ryan. If you're going to go to Austin, or if we have any listeners in Austin. But no, we just want to push how worthy this is of going to Austin for a day or two. But it is $15 at any Game Over, $20 at the door. And, of course, it is in Austin. If you decide to stay in Houston, though, Space City Comic Con is going to be happening at Energy Park. They have a bunch of guests lined up over there too. We'll probably have some of our guys go out there and cover that. And let's see what else.
You can go to Space City Con and shrug your shoulders at Matt Ryan and be like, man, it was a good run on Constantine.
God, that's so sad.
You can tell Karen Gillan how much you loved her in Selfie.
Oh, God.
I actually watched that entire show. And there's some Star Trek people, too. It wasn't bad. Oh, my God.
I mean, aren't they having, like, a Voyager reunion there?
No, yeah.
It was, like, the captain, like, all the principal actors from Star Trek Voyager.
I mean, to be fair, they have Lori Petty, who's Tank Girl, and also she was in Orange and the New Black. And I forgot her name, and I apologize, but she's the captain from Voyager. She's also in Red and Orange is the New Black. So
yeah.
There's some.
Oh, my God.
Captain Janeway. That's all I know.
Kate Mulgrew or something. Kate Mulgrew,
yeah. Yeah, Kate Mulgrew. Yeah, she's going to be there.
She kind of reminds me of Lucy Lawless, honestly.
What?
Yeah, like an older Lucy
Lawless.
I mean,
because they were both powerful, like, lead women, like, on TV at the same time. They're kind of, like, in that
with strong
club together.
Lines.
Yeah.
Are we getting into some more 4chan tinfoil where Kay Mulgrew and Lucy Lawless are the only people you can identify as strong women in the 90s TV?
Oh, fuck 4chan.
What about Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman?
Yeah.
What about that woman?
She's not strong because the name woman is in the title and she's got a man behind her helping her, and that doesn't that benefits the patriarchy.
What about Scully?
Okay, no, Scully's badass. Yeah,
give Scully credit.
What about
Monica and Rachel and Phoebe?
Phoebe's in BoJack Horseman, by the way.
What about Moesha?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get Moesha. What about Clarissa Explains It All?
What about What about the Sister Sisters?
What about Salt and Pepper?
What about that lady from Touched by an Angel?
Oh yeah.
Jennifer Love Hewitt?
And the entire party.
She helped
five,
that party five together.
Women. Wait, Jennifer Love Hewitt? That angel can touch me. Yo.
She can party with my five.
Right.
Well, you're Asian, so.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Whoa.
With your five.
I see what you did there.
Oh my God.
You did there.
Get the fuck out of this podcast. Hang the fuck up.
Oh, God. This is. I feel bad for Nintendo Quest because we put them on like.
I mean, this and Cuckolding. You should feel great about yourself.
Man, I really wish I had made my Periscope joke earlier about the semen.
All it's missing is we need to make a 50 Shades of Grey joke, so that'll come. Whatever, so.
That's so played out. Played out.
It is. I think, I don't think anyone's legitimately trying to be like, it's good. It's like,
hey, after that, E.L. James did her, like, Twitter, ask me anything, which blew up in her face, and she rewrote the book in his, like, point of view or some shit like that. Yeah, it's gone. Jump the shark. It was even before the shark.
Wait, was E.L. James a guy or a girl?
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
I had no idea.
So it's a woman, a strong, independent woman.
Oh, Lord.
Wait, was E.L. James on 90s TV then?
No, sure. I don't know.
Wait, I have to give a shout out to Angelina Jolie, not for her later roles, but her roles in Hackers. She was a strong, independent woman there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was awesome on that.
It was Crash Over. No. Acid Burn. She was Acid Burn.
Yeah, she was.
Yep.
Can't believe we called her Crash Over. That's the dude.
It's Crash and Burn, dude. They're Crash and Burn.
Oh, speaking of Hackers real quick, I've been all over that Mr. Robot thing on USA. last week it got so meta that they ended up watching Hackers and criticizing it on the show.
That's so good. Well, I'm so glad they did that.
But it's like that sounds dope. It's like making fun of 50 Shades of Grey. Hackers is such a... It wasn't even accurate at the time.
But it was funny, though. You know.
No, but it's like making fun of 50 Shades of Grey from inside a softcore porno movie. Starring Hulk Hogan. Okay,
there you go.
And what happened in it, it's like they played that one part where all the different like Cookie Monster viruses are coming out. Mm-hmm. And the guys were like, wow, this is Hollywood, blah, blah, and all this other stuff. Very good show, though, regardless. Also, BoJack Horseman Season 2 came out. I think I'm on episode 3 or 4.
I'm on episode 4.
Oh, you're on 4?
Yep. It's really dark. Not dark. The first season started, which, like, it started goofy, and then it became more of a character study, and you can see how, like, BoJack is deeply flawed. And in the second season, everyone is deeply flawed, and they make comedy out of it. It's great.
It's darker than the first season right off the bat.
Yep. Yep. Like, it makes you question yourself, too. So it's great. It makes you think. It's a thinking man anthropomorphic cartoon show.
It makes you think about how horrible a person you are yourself. So, and also, okay, I know we cut the Ant-Man stuff short last time. Do you guys have anything to say about Ant-Man?
It was formulaic, but good. I enjoyed myself. Not giving away too much of the plot, but the plot, they already did the plot like twice in the MCU.
Yeah, they did.
Which was good guy fights bad. Huh? Yeah. Good guy fights bad guy with same powers, and good guy wins.
Tron?
Yeah, it was kind of like this. It was kind of the same plot from Iron Man 1.
And the Incredible Hulk.
Except Tony Stark is like two different people in this movie.
Yeah. Well, no, it was Obadiah Stane or Stane.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right.
It's funny.
But, yeah, like, the beats were all successful.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Peña.
Like, the...
Yeah, Michael Peña was funny. Yeah. He likes his Roncos. He's a plus neo-cubist guy. I like that. I can definitely identify that.
Yeah, no, he
exactly.
He stole the show, and I really hope that a Hispanic guy gets, like, the Marvel treatment one day, too. And
he should be, like... He was like the One Punch Man. He was like punching people so hard.
I mean, there's he's not really like a predominantly
what's that,
one
Sean?
Punch. But then he saves them after. I mean, we're not gonna. I don't want to go into too much detail because that kind of spoils like some nice moments of it, you know.
But what
I was gonna say, like, are there any big Hispanic superheroes that were like written originally as Hispanic, or are they gonna have to like kind of, you know, do the switch on, you know? Peter Parker, you know, Spider-Man, and the possibly, you know, with the Miles Morales.
Araña was more Hispanic than Miles. The one chick, girl spider.
Oh yeah, I mean, you have a lot of villains, like the Tarantula.
Yeah, you can. You brown people can be the bad guys. Don't worry.
They can make Raven Hispanic.
No, he's Russian.
Yeah, same
thing. They can make him Hispanic.
Yeah,
Russia is the year of Hispanic.
Oh, 2015. I'm actually thinking right now, are there any super Hispanic, like, mainstream characters? I know there's always, like, on the... Let's say it's going to be like Alpha Flight. There's one guy, like all Canadians, and then one guy that's way from across the border, and, you know, Sombrero Man.
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
You know?
Like if Puck was actually just like Pucko.
Let's just add an O. Yeah, let's just add an
El Blado. Spider Mano. Spider Hermano.
Spider Hermano. I would like
Captain Americano.
Well, Ghost Rider, the latest incarnation. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Does Marvel own the cinematic rights of Ghost Rider?
No, he's Nicolas Cage in the MCU.
Ah. Well, they could redo him and.
I mean,
they put him in MCU.
Right now, no, the closest
unless they make Nicolas Cage another character.
I think the closest you got right now is like when Jessica Alba was the Invisible Woman.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go to change.org and start that up. So.
Yeah.
Has anything really happened from change.org? Did anything happen from.
Like Selena makeup?
If I go sign anything important happening in change.org?
Selena makeup?
Anything important
happen?
Have you seen the.
We told Obama he couldn't take our guns.
Obama? Oh, by the way, I'm going back to Ant-Man. Evangeline Lilly, I like her, but she totally reminds me of that woman from Bree Dallas Howard from Jurassic World. Because they're all like, I'm ice cold. And then, not really. And then Judy Greer is like the mom, and she's totally cute, and I like her.
Mm-hmm. What's her face?
Pam Grier would be an amazing Storm. Sorry.
Miss Lily, I haven't seen Jurassic World yet, but she reminded me more of Olivia Wilde in Tron.
Yeah, that's a haircut, but what's her name? Janet Van Dyne has that like bob though, right?
I didn't see much of her.
It was she's Hope Van Dyne. Yeah.
Yeah, but they were like, but didn't Janet originally in the comic books always sported that bob? So that was their like, look, throwback to comic books.
I mean, her outfit originally had a skirt too. I mean.
Yeah, she was like a model or whatever. Let's just go ahead and end this because before we go back into talking and about 5 inches or whatever we've been doing this show. Like I said, I feel bad.
You could redo the origin of Brother Voodoo.
How?
No.
Like he could be like Brother, Aztec Voodoo or something.
No. Brother Voodoo is Brother Voodoo. Jeez. That's like the most laziest writing there.
God damn it. You might as well just fucking like throw a sombrero on Thor and like paint
El Thorombrero
at Chris Helms like Thorombrero.
No, you make a super team called the Thunder Gods and it's like Thor and Quetzalcoatl.
I was drinking my beer and I had to stop.
It's a Quetzalcoatl has lightning powers, right?
Hey guys, don't worry, don't worry.
Yeah.
Hey, as a brown person, let me tell you this. I'm very satisfied by the representation of like Hispanics in Marvel Comics, because Deadpool loves tacos and eats chimichangas.
Huh? And we have Mandarin Fing Fam Foom, so that's good.
Yeah, Asians have Fing Fam Foom.
And on behalf of white people, you're welcome.
And also, where's our superheroes? Don't see us beating down the doors for white superheroes. Where are they?
You got Captain America. Wait, never mind.
Where's our white superheroes who are vaguely of Irish, Italian, and German descent?
Oh man,
they're all like super American.
I am so thank you if you guys stuck through our show with this. Of course, everything is tongue in cheek. We are a lover of all races and what
we're goddamn delightful.
Literally.
Yeah, no.
God damn.
But the way I see it, I don't care what kind of a difference big companies make, but the difference that I make myself in showing equality. But if you want, join my petition on change.org to change Thor into Thorbrero. And also to have Deadpool not eat chimichangas anymore.
Yeah. Thorado.
We could eat egg rolls with just the Asian chimichangas.
Yeah, we'll just pass it on to the Asians. You can start eating egg rolls.
It's still fried in some sort of cylindrical. It's the same as chimichangas.
Yeah, and we have corn dogs, so it all balances out.
Also, this Saturday, we hit 1,000 likes on Facebook. You don't know how awesome that felt for us. We were counting down. We have a little Facebook group chat group that we all, send messages to.
This last segment's going to lose all of those likes, too.
Yeah. Like, once you like us, you like us forever, okay? But no, we hit this 1,000, and it was really cool. Of course, on Friday, we were pushing for that. We got 998. We had celebratory cigars ready, but we had them as failure cigars. Next day, we ended up hitting the 1,000. And Jacob Calle, our friend from the show, he let us paint our logo on the Secret Group HTX building, which is the one that has like all the really cool Simpsons artwork. Also has the Mark Bode from the movie Wizards. His son painted some of that stuff too. But it was like a really big honor to paint that thing while we knew that there were so many supporters behind us. And moving forward, we're going to keep bringing you guys whatever we do plus 100 times more. I think in October, Rex, Sean, Ryan, I don't think I told you guys this yet, but seems like we got crayon droids coming in through Houston.
Whoa.
So our buddies Beaker and Rob are going to be out here.
I can't wait to get drunk with them in person.
Yeah. No,
I can't wait for my liver to fail.
It's a good time.
We often play Crayon Droids and RoboRob stuff on our show. We play video games with them almost every Friday. But we're going to bring them to Houston. These guys are amazing DJs and everything. And it's going to be kind of as a thank you. We'll have more details on that as we develop everything. Aside from that, we have Amazing Con coming up. Of course, we're going to throw a party. And also for the Comic Palooza Fan Fair, also in September, we'll be having a party going on. But once again, from the bottom of our dark black hearts, we'd like to say thank you very much for supporting us and that we love you guys all. We've been running... Dude, guys, this is almost 40 minutes for our section. So,
yeah. Wow.
With all those jokes, it didn't seem that way for us, but we're going to go ahead and cut it down. So on behalf of myself, Rex, Ryan, and Sean, good night, Space City.
Treasure, oh so rare. face I see on my computer screen.
Computer live.